reading. That really shows you the difference between a wise person and what the Bible refers to as a fool. Now, it really has nothing to do with the IQ or the education and the ability. What it has to do with is the attitude behind whether or not you're willing to receive the truth, including correction. This morning we looked at rebukes, when it's not necessary, when it is, and how to do it. And tonight we're just going to look at some proverbs that teach us the right attitude to have in order to receive correction in the right way. Hopefully we all want to be wise. And we need to understand that it's not always comfortable or convenient. It doesn't feel good to be corrected. But if we love the truth, regardless of how it makes us feel in the moment, we need to think about that. Now, I think about this certain occasion where a brother came to me, not here, but a brother came to me and he wanted to talk to me. And I could tell he was very nervous. And I could tell this was not something that he enjoyed. And he was really trembling and whenever he came to talk to me about it. But he wanted to have some things that he thought that I needed to make correction in. And I just remember he had really tied himself and had some maybe even stomach issues just trying to think of how he was going to approach me. I could see this was not something that he just had some sick pleasure of trying to come to me and talk with me about this. Now, I remember at the time thinking that some of the things he was saying, I did not initially agree with him, but I let him talk and I let him get it out. And I thought, well, let's just, instead of just having a knee-jerk response and just bite back and find some fault back with him, just let him talk and let him get it out. At the end of that discussion, I had some thoughts in my mind of what I wanted to say, but I thought, well, maybe it's just better to hold off. Let me think about that, go home. And as I began to think about it, there was probably something still. And here we are, probably several years down the road, maybe more than a decade, really, where I have thought about that. In one way, I really appreciate that the brother took the chance to come to me and discuss some things that he thought I needed to change. And on the other hand, I still probably do see that I didn't necessarily agree with everything that he was saying. So I thought, what would the Proverbs, what would God want me to do here? Well, because there were some things that I might not have agreed with, I hope that I would not let that get in the way with the other parts that maybe were valid, if you catch what I'm trying to say. So, if I'm the one being corrected, I think the Proverbs teach us that it should not matter to me whether the person is saying it perfectly. If I'm the one giving the correction, I need to try to do it and frame it in the right manner. A word spoken in the right time is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And so there is a time and a place for certain words and how you say it. But look at Proverbs 3 and verse 11, and we're just going to look at some proverbs and let them guide us. It's very simple, but maybe hard to follow. But Proverbs 3 verse 11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And so God corrects us. If you're reading your Bible regularly, you're going to read passages that step on your toes, that prick your heart. You remember how David numbered the army, which he was not supposed to do. But it says his heart smote him later. Now somebody else had asked him before, but he went ahead and went through with it. But later he felt guilty. that's a moment when we really should decide, how am I going to handle this? Am I just going to ignore it and make excuses? Am I going to try to justify myself whenever I'm doing something that I shouldn't do? Or am I missing the opportunity to be better? And so here it says that a person who's being corrected by the Lord is someone the Lord loves. I need to understand that, whether it feels good or not. God corrects those he loves. Also look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And here we learned that a father who loves his child is going to correct him. You see that in chapter 23 and verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now the King James has verbiage here that some people, you know, might not gather. It's not talking about beating as an abuse. It's talking about using a physical discipline. But then chapter 29 and verse 15. Chapter 29 and verse 15. Says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Sometimes, maybe for one reason or another, perhaps a person has been abused, and so they might be tempted to run to the other extreme and say, okay, I'm never going to use any kind of physical punishment on my child. And while I might could try to understand what, here's something that's been very damaging to them, obviously you would not want to repeat what's happened to you, but it is not abuse if it's handled in the right way. Obviously, the Bible is encouraging this. He's actually saying you do not love your child, and even says it even stronger, you hate your child if you don't ever discipline your child. In verse 19 of Proverbs 29, says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. There are some people who you can't correct. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter. You've probably seen this in the workplace. Somebody's doing something that's inappropriate or it's not in line with the company's ideals. Person is given a warning and then maybe disciplined somehow, and then they never change. They might apologize, but then it just keeps happening. Some people are like that. And some children are like that. Some adults are like that. Well, that is not the description of a wise person. If you want to be wise, it shouldn't be so hard to approach. And I believe that a sign of wisdom, maybe even from an older person, should be that it's easy to approach, to come to someone, to tell them that we're not threatening. It's not like we ought to live in such a way where the person who could come and correct me knows the best in me, that I am going to try to listen to what they say and I'm not going to be stubborn. Here's an example. There was a man named Nabal, and his name meant fool, and his wife couldn't talk to him. His servants couldn't talk to him. David is watching the man's property while he's running from Saul, and he's watching his cattle, and his men are like on the verge of starvation and thirst. And so he just simply asked the man for some little help. since I've been helping you, could you help me, help me and my men out? And the man says, who are you? You know, some guy wants to break free from their master, and then you want to come out here and you think I owe you. And he's just really talking down to David in such a way that makes David furious. I'm talking about really hurting the male ego here. One guy says this, the other guy says that. Now you've gotten some really heads butting, and they're about to have a war. And David is about to say, okay, this is it. He's ready to end the man. And the servants hear this or hear of it, and they run and tell the man's wife. And they say, nobody can talk to him. You can't talk to him. You can't tell him a thing. And so she says, okay, I know what to do. So she goes and she grabs a lot of food and some stuff, and she comes out and she speaks to David peaceably. And she is able to save lives from being harmed because of what she did. But we don't want to be like Nabal. We don't want to be a kind of person where somebody says, forget it. I am not even going down this path because it's not going to do any good. Can't talk to this person because it never ends well. They're always right and everybody else is always wrong. That is not the description of a wise person. So how wise are we? In Proverbs chapter 12, notice verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. King James says brutish. Some of your translations may just come right out and say he's stupid. And the idea here is a person who hates correction. But you can't correct a person who is stupid. They hate it. Now, here's the thing that I've got to try to develop in myself, because it's not something that's enjoyable. Do I love the truth so much that I look at it as an opportunity to say, I shouldn't be afraid of being shown that I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, well, now I got a chance to correct it and be right. And I should love the truth over my ego and over my pride. And so Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner is just someone who just, they scoff, they scorn everything that could be beneficial to them. But you can't teach somebody who thinks they know everything. You can't teach someone who doesn't have some humility and willingness to consider, wait, what if I am wrong? What if I have been mistaken? Or even if in the moment I have convictions, maybe that I've thought about and I've studied about, but I shouldn't have my heart on my sleeve or have a chip on my shoulder. I shouldn't be like a ticking time bomb that somebody's just waiting to kind of touch me in the wrong way or say something in the wrong way and then I explode. And certainly not the right kind of attitude to have. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So we certainly shouldn't hate our father's instruction, and certainly not our Father in heaven. Verse 12 of the same chapter says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Isn't it interesting how sometimes you can tell how wise a person is or mature they are by who do they go to for advice? If you are constantly going to, you know, very poor sources for your advice, or you're going to people of the world for advice on marriage, not going to help you very well. If you go to someone for advice on anything, you would think that you would want to go to someone who's doing pretty well at that and is a good example in that area. And so be careful who you listen to. Are we listening to the world or are we listening to others? And I can't help but think of Rehoboam here. Now, I know it was of the Lord that Rehoboam was going to lose part of the kingdom because of what his father did. He had married these foreign wives. He turned his heart away. And so God had said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. But we learn here that Rehoboam went to... He did ask the older men, and then he asked the younger men. The older men didn't give him as exciting of advice. They told him, listen to the people. They're asking you to cut them some slack, lighten their load. If you listen to them, they'll follow you. They'll serve you. But the young men said, no, that's not as... You're not going to show your power very well if you do that. You got to show them you're in control. And you got to tell them that my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. And my father chastised you with whips, but I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. I guess that sounds more manly to some people. But that didn't go over very well. That divided the kingdom. So it takes wisdom to make sure we're listening and listening to the right voices and the right people. Proverbs 15. Let's look at chapter 1 and verse 22. Proverbs 1 and verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Now here's simple doesn't mean simple like let me be a simple kind of man or like a simple lifestyle. It's not what it's talking about. Simple here is more like simple Simon, like someone being foolish. And so when he talks about the simple here, he's asking them, how long will you love being this way? It's like it doesn't dawn on them to want to change anything. They just always stay that way. Well, it's because of their choices. It's because of their attitude towards truth. They hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. This is really like wisdom is being personified. Wisdom is talking like it's a person. And it's saying, I've called to you, you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So wisdom is really available. And it's not that hard to find it. But it seems that you just have to have the right heart. It's like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But if you turn you cover your ears and you hide your eyes and you turn away, and I don't want to listen to this, even if it could benefit me, you're really missing the opportunity to better yourself and perhaps save yourself from some heartache. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Think about that one. 100 stripes. Basically, a fool can not listen. Bad consequences occur. They do it again. Somebody tries to say something. No, they're not going to hear it. More bad consequences happen. No, not going to hear it. Somebody, well, can I talk to him? No, I don't want to hear it. And then they go and they do the same thing. There's another calamity. It's another problem. And all this time, they're turning away their ears. That is the definition in the Bible of a fool. That really is what happened to God's people in the Old Testament. A prophet would be sent to them. The way God describes this, I sent you the prophets rising early, sending them, warning you, telling you. And what did they do? They attacked the messengers of God. They harmed the prophets. They couldn't hear what the prophets said. And it became their downfall. And that nation was taken into captivity. Do you want life or do you want death? It is a life and death matter of whether or not I'm going to accept correction. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Again, this is wisdom talking like a person. A wise person is going to go to the well of knowledge every day. It is a fountain of life that we have here. And every day, as you read it, it's going to tell you things that you need to do better or to stop doing or to encourage you to do what's right. And it'll remind you of things to get out of your life or it's going to hurt you. And it's a way to say God's way is better. And he gives you the choice. You can keep on doing what you want to do or you can turn away from it or you can accept it and better yourself. But blessed is the man who does it daily, who listens to God. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If you want life, you just need to accept that it's going to have to include reproofs. Now here's the odd part. Some people, when they know that they really need some kind of form of instruction that might include some correction of some form when they're ready, they'll pay money for some people for advice. Whether it's taxes or whether it's a diet or exercise program or whether it's some form of coaching of in business. There are people who pay money to have someone evaluate them, tell them what they're doing wrong or what they can change and do better because they want to improve in this area. Can you think of something, though, that's available for free and is worth far more than any of these other areas? And we should be willing to say, these are the words of life. Just like Peter, whenever the Lord gave them what they needed and others walked away, they didn't like it. And Jesus says, will you also go away? Peter says, well, who can we go to? You have the words of eternal life. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Yeah, it's a life and death matter. Verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now, do you think people just say, what they say one day, you know what? I can't stand my soul. I don't like it. Well, I don't think that's what they do. But that is, you are degrading the value of your soul whenever you rob yourself of the ability to hear correction that could improve your life. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Sorry, 18 verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Some people think that words won't harm them. There's that little rhyme you said when you was kids, that sticks and stones. That's not true. Words can cause wars. Words can cause separation of friendships. Words can separate two people who had a good relationship. Words can wreck a home. Words can wreck a lot of things, but words can also build up. Words can bring life and peace. Words can save souls. So yeah, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do I want life? I'm robbing myself of that life if I'm unwilling to receive the correction that would allow me to go into eternal life. Proverbs 13, verse 8. Thinking about, do I want to be blessed or do I want to be punished? Isn't it interesting? Everybody wants peace, but not everybody wants to do the things that make peace. Everybody wants to be loved and have a good relationship, but not everybody is willing to change themselves that allow the relationships to grow and flourish. And some people either build that and tie strings, and they do well in mending strains that are there, and then other people, they seem to hurt that and harm that, and no matter what they do, they can't figure out, you know, why is it causing these divisions and friction. But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32 says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. I'm sorry. Chapter 19 and verse 25. Proverbs 19 verse 25 says, smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Isn't it kind of interesting? The one who knows a little more and is a little bit more wiser might be the one who is willing to be corrected. So it's tempered with a not a know-it-all. Knows some, knows enough, but knows they, since they don't know everything, then they're willing to learn and improve more. Proverbs 25 and verse 12 says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now hang on. We all want the ability and privilege of being able to pray to our Father. Imagine God not listening to me because I'm not willing to listen to someone who cares about me and wants me to change something or improve something that needs to be corrected. If I'm not listening to God, why do I expect God to listen to me? Prayer is a great privilege. And I need to not do something that harms that. God doesn't hear every prayer. Some prayers are an abomination to him. And I don't want to hinder that. The same idea is mentioned about a man and his wife. A man not to be bitter against his wife or to dwell with your wife in an understanding way. But then it says, your heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I believe that's telling me that if I'm not being very understanding to my wife, why do I expect the Lord to understand me and my condition? And so I've got to have the right attitude. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The hardening of the neck is the illustration that is used in the Bible a lot about like an ox or an animal that just stiffens their neck up. I am not going to do this. You can't make me. I'm not going to be corrected. And it's just a stubborn, stiff-necked, animalistic attitude. And so it's just not the attitude of a humble, wise person who loves the truth. Would you rather be rebuked if it helped you? Or would you rather be flattered? Have you ever had someone that they're just flattering you and they're buttering you up with their words and they're saying all kinds of things, but you know it's fake, it's not real, and behind your back they're really thinking and saying other things? Yes, it might sound good on the surface, but it's not. It's just flattery. But here's someone who genuinely cares about you and they tell you the truth. Why would you not want to rather hear that? Proverbs 28 and verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. And so, are we wise or are we foolish? Someone much wiser than me wrote the following, and I'll leave this with you. It's called Give Me the Truth. His name is Bill Cruz. He says, if you are my friend, if you are concerned about my soul, give me the truth. Do not flatter me. Do not praise my virtues while remaining silent about my vices. Do not fear the truth will offend me. Do not treasure our friendship, our friendly relations above my salvation. Do not think that by ignoring my sins you can help me. Do not think that being blind to my sins will prove you charitable. However I may react to it, give me the truth. For the truth, and only the truth, can make me free from the shackles of sin. Strengthen me in the pathway of righteousness and lead me to the joys of heaven. If I'm wavering, weak, lukewarm, indifferent, neglectful, if I've been overtaken in a trespass, if I've been drawn into the pleasures of the world, if I've left my first love, if I've been led astray by error, or if I have done none of these things but simply need to grow in knowledge and then be edified, give me the truth. May we all have such a love for God's word that we're willing to receive it, that we have the kind of ground that's called good ground, where it can take root and then spring up and bear fruit. We don't want to be hard, rocky soil that the word can't penetrate and get down in it and do its work and germinate within us and produce life. Let the word have life within you. If you know that you've done wrong and you know you need to make your life right with God and you know that God is offering you salvation, don't be stubborn. Receive the truth to the saving of your soul. Love Him with your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess, I believe He's the Christ. Be baptized and have your sins washed away. And then have joy knowing that you have victory and you have a hope of heaven. You've been forgiven fully. If you're a Christian and you have made a mistake, don't be stubborn. Hear the truth. Let it prick your heart. Let it do its work. Be willing to change. Be willing to confess that. Let us pray with you. Whatever your need is, come to the front while we stand and as we sing.